away. The energy intriguing me. Stars are up day, breaking Earth's gravity. Wash the night away. But we're alive, equalized, lost and found today. Aligned and dying to realize that it's your way.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver and online at CITR.ca. This is What Pink Sounds Like. In the next hour, join me, your host, Ashley Kissman, as we celebrate women in media and in music. Increasing feminist content on the airwaves, one song at a time. Let's just make a change. Why can't we turn the page? Make a Well, welcome back to school, all you students. Not being a student anymore, I was quite surprised to see so many faces on campus today here at UBC, University of British Columbia. And then I remembered, oh, right, it's first day of school for lots of students, university students, college students, grade school students. Well, welcome back. I hope you all had a fantastic long weekend. The weather certainly cooperated this weekend, which was nice. I don't know about you, but I was at the PNE, mostly working, but I'm happy to say it's over now, and I'll anticipate it for next summer. I did manage to make sure I got a couple of rides in, though. I did the elevator, the coaster, and the drop zone, which was so scary, but so worth it. Highly, highly recommend trying those out. What's it the saying goes, you gotta do something that scares you every day? Maybe just try to do it like once a month. That way, it's healthy. I've got a great show today, lots of new music, and an interview with local band Low Spin. They are playing at the Rickshaw September 7th with the Joy Formidable here in Vancouver. Stay tuned for their first radio interview ever. But first, here's Mother Mother with Simply Simple off their latest album, Eureka, right here on CITR.
Just the way I've got to be. Take me slowly, or else you may come by injury. I'll hurt you emotionally. Rock me, baby, until my eyes are closed and I'm asleep. Then it's safe for you to leave. Call me. perfect baby like me. And I'll throw a fit into a jet to pick up after it.
What's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Up next on What Pink Sounds Like, my much-anticipated interview with local band Low Spin. There were lots of laughs in the studio last week when they came in to pre-record the interview. The girls and one guy of Low Spin sure know how to have fun. Listen in as we talk about how they got started, what it was like to work with renowned producer Howard Redekop of Mother Mother, Tegan and Sarah and the New Pornographers, and how Mark, the only guy, deals with being the only lad in the band.
My name is Jesse Robertson.
My name's Jen Foster.
I'm Renee.
Mysterious
like
Renee.
Share.
And I'm Mark Kirkman.
And we are Love Spin.
Me and Jen started the project. It was just the two of us. We were both in other bands that have dissolved and just found ourselves just itching to play. So we started jamming and just started writing songs, and we were just having a lot of fun. And just at the point where we said, maybe we should get a bass player, Jesse Robertson moves to town, and I'm like, okay.
Saves the day.
It's the sign! So we know Jesse from playing shows with her previous band in Calgary. So we've kind of just, we were all acquaintances, and then just ended up, it all just kind of flowed together. And then we met Mark after that.
Look at that face. You can't see his face on
you
radio.
You can't say no to that.
So, yeah, three ladies and one gentleman. How do you feel being the only guy?
It's pretty comfortable, honestly.
Yeah.
He's one of the girls.
No.
I keep trying to tell him that he is, and he refutes. He fights.
He's the man. He keeps us in line.
You know, he carries the most stuff at one time.
So, Mark, what's your musical background?
But technically, like, I'm fully self-taught, and then just whatever bands I was interested in being in at the time. I was in a band called The Lunar Riot, and that was kind of like shoegaze-ish. And I've always had an interest in darker stuff, mostly electronic-based stuff. And so I was trying to find something like that while working on my own project. And then Jessie asked me if I wanted to play guitar in her band, Low Spin.
Her band.
In my band.
Jessie's band.
Let's just get that over the band. Right. Yeah. She came from Calgary.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know.
It's exactly. Like, Jessie and the Low Spins.
It's interesting that you say you were drawn to darker sounding music, because some have described your music as kind of a dark alternative pop. And I would agree that when you first hear it, it does have some poppy elements to it. However, there's a really nice alternative rock sound to it. Where did that sound come from? What are some of your musical influences? Did it come from music that perhaps you listened to when you were a young kid? Or just more of the style of music you wanted to play? And we can start with Renee.
I think it's interesting because we all have slightly different tastes in music, and I like the way it comes together. For me personally, I do like a bit of a darker sound. I'm definitely like a huge fan of bands like The Cure and PJ Harvey, just with like really kind of like darker, heavier undertones. And then kind of combining it with a little bit more of a pop sound, like catchy melodies and I just, I enjoy the way that all four of us kind of melt together to make this kind of like a dark ambient kind of dancey pop sound. It's interesting, and I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I think it's a good way of putting it, because there is some dancey element to it. Like, when I'm listening to it, I find myself bobbing my head, and I'm like, I don't know if that's what they meant for me to do. And I think, I mean, I guess as an artist, a part of you is putting your creation out there and then letting other people interpret it as such. What
Absolutely.
Kind of feedback have any of you gotten from friends or family or from even people at live shows? Or album reviews. I know Beatroot did a music review.
And they've all been really different. So, you know, some people love to dance to our songs, and at shows they'll dance, but then we got one review saying it's not danceable music. So, I don't know. It just depends. It's everyone's
perception.
Something
like on the cusp of dancing. More like they were in the swaying, but not quite full-on dancing.
They really
spent several sentences dissecting that it wasn't quite dancing, but almost.
So, it just depends on the person and what kind of mood you're in, I think. If you feel like just swaying, or you can get into a full-on dance, I think.
I think it could pull you either way, you know? I think if you had a hard day at work and you just want to, like, wallow in self-pity, you know, you can go there with us. You can go there if you you want to do a happy little jig.
It borderlines on, we're not the saddest band in the world, but we're definitely not the happiest. So I think it maybe can ignite a few different emotions in people. And for us, it's the same as well. So
sure. Yeah, no, a sad music never came to mind. It's more like music that, like, you know, we're going to kick ass. We're here, and we're going to make you listen to us, but in a really defining way. I think that's what really drew me to the music. It's powerful. It's really nice.
Oh, thanks.
What are some of your musical influences, Jessie?
For me, I mean, I'm all over the map. I grew up on Led Zeppelin and Hole to Marilyn Manson to... and then later on, when I started playing in bands, my first band was an 80s cover band. We did a lot of Motley Crue and Pantera and that kind of thing. So it was really heavy kind of at first, and then I really got into some funk, and I really was inspired by funk music to start my playing anyways as a bass player. That really inspired me. And then I was in a band for quite a while, a ska punk band, so that was a big part of my life for a while. But I've always loved, you know, Radiohead and Sonic Youth, and so I've always kind of had that shoegazy sort of darker stuff there as well. So, I mean, I can't say that I specifically listen to only one genre, and it's been a combination of a lot of the different styles that I've liked that has created my interest now, I guess. So,
Yeah, I find that something that a lot of musicians say is that you can't just limit yourself to one genre of music. I mean, most people who just listen to music don't limit themselves to one genre because different moods, different times of your life, you might want to listen to different things. Day to day, I listen to different things, or hour to hour.
And especially, I think, dissecting your own sound. Like, when we first kind of started coming into fruition and trying to, you know, get some sort of plan and business plan together and, you know, to reel people in, you kind of have to compare yourself to something that already exists. And we were kind of having meetings to a couple of people, and we were expressing to them what bands we thought maybe we were slightly similar to, and it was, no, you don't sound remotely like this band. Maybe you want to sound like this band, but you don't. You're kind of more over here to the left, and which is always really interesting because we do have all such different musical backgrounds, and an idea will kind of be planted at rehearsal, and just everybody's ideas being layered on top of it, it always comes out completely different than how it started. It's kind of cool.
Is there a lot of, when you're jamming together, when you're writing music, is there a lot of improvising that comes into play? Or do you kind of go into a studio or go into a jam session kind of knowing what you're going to come out with?
We look like we're organized people, because we're not.
We're not.
No, we look like organized people.
Look at what I'm wearing.
Oh, thanks. Well, our writing style, though, like, we write in the jam space. I mean, occasionally, you know, with a riff, but
there are different ways of writing. Yeah. I think, like, we've tried different ways. Most of the time, yeah, we just will start jamming something in the jam space, and then it'll fall together. Or I'll have like an idea or something that I'll come up with on the couch at home, and then I'll take it in, and everyone just improvises their parts, and either we feel it or we don't, and then we take it from there.
Yeah, it's definitely hit and miss sometimes, but yeah. I mean.
You have a lot of Mark's face, and Mark would be like, oh.
Yeah.
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 Get me out. He doesn't even have to say anything. You just look over at his face, and it's okay. This doesn't sound very good. The rest of us will be so into it. Or vice versa. Usually, Mark, Jesse, and I will be really annoying and start really bad, like, funk jams, or really bad, almost jazzy, like something that would be a song, like an intro to a cooking show or something. Yeah. And Renee just stands there with the most distraught look on her face.
Like, this is not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all like big smiles, like, come on, man, let's rock out.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't pretend when it comes.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's good that you guys can be honest with each other, whether it comes in the forms of awkward facial expressions.
Yeah.
We're not scared of hurting each other.
Yeah, we're very honest with each other.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Is there any, you guys have done quite a few concerts now, you've been on stage, is there any weird pre-concert rituals or post-concert rituals that you guys like to do together as a band?
Pre and post, we get super wasted.
Yeah. I think we keep talking about getting something together so that we are focused when we're on stage. We're like, okay, next show, we got to do this. And then, we just don't.
We've been getting a little better, though, because we kind of learned the hard way that if we're all scattered before a show and we don't see each other, we're all doing our own thing, and then at the very last second we get together or we see each other on stage, then we feel really, like, there's no collective energy. And so we've kind of said, okay, at least 10 minutes before we have to go on, let's meet backstage.
Let's hold hands.
Let's kumbaya.
It's a hairspray session.
The hairspray goes around, and that's how we connect to each other.
Usually only one person remembers to bring it. Where's the hairspray?
Well, and then that bottle is
Mark
done.
Mark has it.
I would have to say that a consistent ritual is helping Mark pick out what pants to wear.
There's tight, and then there's slightly less tight.
Yeah.
Black or like pitch black.
Yeah, it's like tight and black, or really tight and really black.
Yeah.
So when are you going to come out on stage in leather pants? I have to
ask. I've thought about it, but I've resorted to leather-looking denim. Just face,
you know, and cheaper,
right?
More like animal friendly,
more animal friendly.
Exactly. Yeah. I think also a leather vest with no shirt underneath.
Maybe I'll just get a full like PVC suit.
Okay, ooh. That's a little too far.
We're creating pictures for radio.
Absolutely.
So let's get back to your EP, your self-titled EP, correct?
Yep.
Low Spin. Now, Howard Redekop, if I'm pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Redekop? Howard Redekop produced, helped you to produce the first album, which is really cool because he has produced albums for Tegan and Sarah, New Pornographers, and Mother Mother. How did you get the hookup with Howard?
It was kind of funny. A lot of us have listened to, we're all fans of Mother Mother, New Pornographers, and Tegan and Sarah. We love the sound of the albums. There's also some local stuff that he does that we've really, really enjoyed as well, and specifically really enjoyed the production of it. And when we were kind of throwing some names back and forth when we were deciding that, okay, it's time to get in and record. We have to get a product. Tegan is a friend of ours, and we were, have got a couple of opinions from her as well, and of course she had nothing but awesome things to say about Howard, so I just sort of, she gave me his email address, and I just sort of threw it into the universe, and we all talked about it and how much we would love to work with him. Sent him an email with a couple of demos, wasn't really expecting a response, and the next day I got a phone call from him, saying that he was really interested in meeting up and liked to feel it out, and he's quite selective of who he works with, and a really, really busy guy. He always has something on the go, so met up with him and got along really well. I think the nail in the coffin was that Renee's from South Africa, and near the end of the conversation, somehow it came to be that he also grew up in South Africa, so there was some little bond there. So I think we can thank Renee here for that.
No problem.
Thanks for being born in South Africa.
Yeah. It is true. Those connections can go a long way, and I mean, people have experienced that. I myself with jobs or something, where if you can finally connect with someone, obviously on a professional level, mm-hmm. but also on some kind of personal level, it kind of takes that relationship to the next level.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
He's just such an awesome guy. I mean, I just felt comfortable with him right away. Like, he's done such amazing stuff that initially I was thinking, okay, don't be intimidated. But it's not. He's not intimidating. He's such an awesome, comfortable person to work with. Yeah. Mm.
Which is huge when you're recording with somebody. You want to be able to feel like you can just be yourself and not feel that intimidation. And he was just mm-hmm. right away, it felt like we'd been friends for years. Mm-hmm. So it was really the kicker for us, too, because we were being picky as well and saying, who do we want to go with? This is our first impression of our music to the world. So let's do this with, we just wanted to go with somebody who could represent us well. And he nailed it. Yeah, he really, not only on the personal level, but he really got our sound. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. The album is fantastic. And you even have a song with Tegan, Quinn. And so you're friends with her.
Oh, we've all known her for a while.
So yeah. It wasn't intimidating to work with her, even though she's kind of Canadian indie royalty on some level. Tegan and Sarah have been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of really comfortable right away to do the song Give Chase.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about it beforehand, and yeah, she's great, and we were really happy that she allowed us to record the song. And at first, it's a little scary to be like, okay, here's what we did. Do you like it?
Yeah, because it was their song, it's their baby, and all of a sudden we take it and make it ours. And
right.
But she was really supportive of it, and she thought it was a perfect song for us to do, and mm-hmm. they decided that they weren't going to record it on Sainthood, so she said, have at it. And mm-hmm. and she was great. She had a lot of really good opinions. And
not just with that, but with she had a big hand in kind of as the recording process was coming together and
the
really listening
mostly,
and critiquing in terms of mixing and everything, and had a lot of really great suggestions, which, she is... She has a little
She's
bit of experience under her belt, so
just a little bit.
But I think the next one is that every time we play a show in Vancouver, she literally leaves town the day before, so she is still yet to see us play Give Chase live. So I think when that day happens, we're just all like, it's just now that we've built it up for the last year. It's just
I actually call her. I'm like, we were booking a show, so you should probably get your plane ticket out of here.
Yeah.
They should leave.
Yeah. And then comes back a curse word every time.
So you guys are super into social media. You have a blog via WordPress. You've got a hilarious Twitter account, also very interesting Twitter account, might I add. And you're kind of in a good way, all over the place on the internet. I mean, we were just looking at your blog before we turned on the mic, and you've got these really great videos that you've produced. Not a lot of indie musicians are doing that today, and I think it's a really great way of marketing yourself. Was that a deliberate plan when you kind of tackled social media to have a way to market yourselves to people?
Well, I guess it's just another avenue for people to check us out. I mean, you know, with videos, I mean, YouTube is obviously huge, and some people, that's how they find out about music, myself as well. So, I mean, just, I think I, too, when I'm checking out a band, I want to see their live stuff, and I want to see, you know, what are they like personally, and that just allows you to kind of see a different side of the band that you don't get when you just listen to a CD.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's so easy to create all these different dimensions to your personality these days, like, so having access to all of that, it really helps the fans to get to know you better and create like a personal relationship almost with, so yeah.
It is a full-time job.
It is. So, yeah, doing something on social media is just, it's insane how much time it takes, because you think you're just uploading something quickly or writing an update, but it actually is quite time-consuming if you want to be consistent. Mm-hmm. So who updates the Twitter feed?
We all kind of do,
You all do.
Yeah.
Nice. So. Or in the blog, or is there anyone who's like super on it? Or
Jessie's super on it.
Yeah. Well. That's why we call her Super.
Yes, that's my nickname.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have nicknames? I mean, Mark, you may have like, you know, hot pants.
Hot pants.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah. No, I don't think any of us really have
nicknames. And if they, we do, they're maybe not
probably
for radio.
Not suitable for radio.
Yeah. The only one that's consistent, I think, is for some reason we started, when we write emails and stuff, we started spelling Jessie's name instead of with a J, is with three H's.
She does it. Renee does it too, so we call her Jessie. Yeah.
Where that even came from? You probably accidentally pushed the H.
I think it was. I think I accidentally did it, and I was reading it back, so.
Good story.
Yeah,
well, I thought that was nice. Riveting.
I thoroughly enjoyed the story. What's been one of the coolest moments so far, whether it happened on stage or on tour, driving around a van in Calgary or wherever you are, what's been one of the coolest moments so far as a band? And we can each answer it, and Mark, we'll start with you.
Oh, great.
Spotlight.
I think recording was the biggest thing for me, because that was the first time I'd really recorded anything that in depth. It was quite nerve-wracking for me at first. I was only in the band for, 2 months maybe at that point? So I had just learned the songs well enough to get them down. And I don't even know how well I did at that, but...
Well, you're still here.
They didn't kick you out.
That was definitely my favorite part so far. I also have a terrible memory, so I'm probably forgetting all the other things.
You'll go home tonight and you'll wake up and be like, oh!
Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
And Renee, how about for you?
For me? I mean, I just really enjoyed having the first time we were all on stage as a unit. We played with the Joy Formidable.
Well, that was Mark's first show with us, yeah.
Mm. And, a year ago. I mean, I loved having the four of us, the energy on stage, and I mean, we played with Joy Formidable, which is great.
It's pretty awesome.
I love them. Yeah. She's amazing. This tiny little blonde girl. I'm like, very soft-spoken, and then towards the end of the set, she's like ramming her Fender into her amp. I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, they blew us away.
Yeah. So that's a show that sticks out for me.
And you're performing with them again?
Yes.
September 5th in Calgary, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. When do you leave for that?
On Sunday, we're going to do a show in Canmore before that, and then the Calgary show's on the 5th, and then we're back here on the 7th playing with them as well at the Rickshaw.
Oh, with them again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Oh, that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
They're great.
What about a cool moment for you?
Probably the same thing, that show, just everything kind of, we had been working, you know,
pretty tirelessly, the three of us, and then kind of had a revolving door of guitar players who are all wonderful players, but never in terms of kind of sound or scheduling did it seem to fit. And then Mark just kind of, he literally did not have a lot of time to prep for that show. It was like 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. And he learned all of our songs, and it was just really, really comfortable and really, really exciting to play with a band that we all really loved. And it's nice for it to kind of come full circle pretty much exactly a year later. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I mean, live shows are it for me. I love playing live, and with these guys, it's a lot of fun because, I mean, we're friends before we were bandmates, and so it's, I'm getting on stage with my friends and playing music that I love. So that's, for me, that's the beneficial thing of this, the most memorable thing. And our first road trip or out-of-town show that we did last May, and was it May in Calgary, which is my hometown, so it was fun to play with the new project in my old territory. Yeah. So that was a lot of
fun.
I'm
from there too. I think actually no, maybe the best part was all of us getting drunk at my parents' house.
Yeah.
That was really awesome. Yeah.
Sounds a lot of drunken fun time.
No, there's not actually. Oh, yeah. I think I'm just saying it because we're actually not, we don't party that much at all. So
like, we get wasted all the time.
We don't.
Cool,
yeah, we overcompensate with words.
We're just wasted all the time.
We're wasted right now.
Yeah. Whereas we're not on the way here. I'm like, I really want a coffee.
That's more so our thing.
Yeah. It's not the stereotype, you know, alternative dark pop band who's on drugs and on alcohol.
Well, it's funny though. Like, there's nothing interesting that happens anymore. It's like, you know, Christina Aguilera's got smoking a cigarette and it's everywhere. In the paper for days. But, like, there's, you don't hear about a lot of.
I think we used to kind of be a bit more into the party scene, getting wasted before we play, but we've realized that we sound better when we're not wasted. Yes. I think so. Yeah. Maybe we should just keep
it
in
check. Having a full-time job.
Well, exactly. You don't get drunk to go to work. Well, I don't anyways. Maybe some people do.
Thank God.
If those people are listening, now the time's to change.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about your life.
And that was my interview with the local band Low Spin. And as you can see, we had a little too much fun in studio that day. I want to thank them for coming in again. The group has big plans to tour Europe one day soon, but you can check them out September 7th at the Rickshaw, live with the Joy Formidable. Now, coming up next, Low Spin's song, Give Chase. This song, as Renee pointed out, was originally written by Tegan and Sarah and was supposed to be performed by the famous Canadian indie duo. But when they didn't want it, Tegan went ahead and said, hey, Low Spin, why don't you give this a shot? Here's Give Chase by Low Spin, right here on CITR.
Those windows, these eyes, don't worry, I won't cry, and if you go, should I stay? If I love again, and end up just the same. If I love.
Explore the convergence of media and electronic music when the New Forms Festival takes over the Waldorf September 9th to 11th. There will be VJs, installations, fabulous art, and great music. The weekend will also feature panel discussions, including a dialogue moderated by Mark Hosler of Negative Land, September 10th from 1 to 5 p.m. in the Waldorf's Leetag Room. Passes and advance tickets are available at Beat Street, Zulu, Red Cat, and online at clubzone.com. Learn more at 2011.newformsfestival.com.
You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ashley Kissman, and this is What Pink Sounds Like. If you're just tuning in, that was my interview with local band Low Spin. To catch the interview and just the interview itself, it'll be posted on my blog, whatpinksoundslike.com. Next up, I want to introduce you to Citrus Burn. Citrus Burn is a duo based in Vancouver, comprised of singer Adriana Devay and composer-producer Malachi. I apologize if I pronounced that wrong. Citrus Burn is a blend of rock, various electronic styles, such as drum and bass and jazz and different textures and world elements, kind of all fused together. And now they're just seeking opportunities to perform live. In 2011, just this spring, they released their first EP titled And Now, Ladies and Gentlemen, A Demonstration. It comprises of three studio tracks recorded in 2010 and two live tracks from an appearance at the Roxy here in Vancouver. The band contacted me via email to let me know about their new EP and sent me this awesome track, Inside Me. Find out more at citrusburn.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a demonstration.
You are sweet. You are kind. I was wrong. I am blind. And I weep when you find that is my thinking of you.
making me feel more alone. All alone. And I would love to have you over for dessert, but you're not nearly sweet enough to make this work. What makes the difference between a boy and a man? You never hold my hand or open doors for me. Baby, it's not chivalry, it's subtleties. And I wish that you could cook as good as you look, 'cause it would drive me wild, almost as wild as to smile. All I want, 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 all I want is to have babies. And I can't conceive of you providing that for me. All I want, 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 all I want is to throw frisbees and bake cookies and hold my hand like a man. But I know that you can't, I don't understand. And I would love to have you over for dessert, but you're not nearly sweet enough.
And that was the lovely Shara Kelly with her song Seafoam Green. Very cute. That was sent to me by her. We had a funny little connection where my mom knew her aunt, and it was cool. Got to hook up, and she's from Vancouver. She's been featured by CBC Radio 3, and it was touring this summer in Western Canada. Very cool folk singer sound. To check out more of her, go to sharakelly.com, and that's Shara spelled S-H-E-R-A, and then kelly.com. Well, the latest issue of Discorder magazine is on newsstands today. It has Joyce Collingwood on the cover, and it's for free. Students always love that. The F word, free. Free stuff is always good. For those new to UBC, it is CITR's monthly music guide and your guide to all things indie. I reviewed not one but two electronic albums for this September issue. The first duo, Spell, they have a new album called Hex. It represents the collaborative efforts of sound artist Kristen Ruse and musician Prophecy Sun. Here is Spell with It's Just a Matter of Time.
Just a matter of time. What does the color pink sound like? Is it hip-hop?
Playing sharp, it don't matter. I'm fatter, axe butter, how I zone.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that. I'm chill like
it's rock. Or maybe it's country.
Oh, when won't you blow up, I go. For tonight I have.
It's jazz. It's electronic. Join me, your host, Ashley Kissman, every Tuesday during your lunch hour from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on CITR to discover what pink sounds like, celebrating women in media and in music. We'll be right back.
just in. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM presents Cabaradio. Join host Teddy Smooth as he explores the chimerical, the hysterical, the phantasmagorical world of burlesque and cabaret. Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM brings you Cabaradio.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Ashley Kissman, about to sign off. Stay tuned to CITR because Linda with Give 'Em the Boot, little Italian music, is coming up next for your pleasure. What we just listened to was the duo Spell with the song Just a Matter of Time, and author album Hex. And then that other one, the shrieking creepy one, was Myths. That song was Deadlights off their self-titled album, Myths. The song is jarring at first, but then if you listen to it, it actually is kind of creepy, and it reminds me of, like, a horror film. Like, it should be the sequence in a horror film where maybe a girl is, like, running away from a killer. Morbid, I know. But anyways, both of those artists, Spell and Myths, and their albums, Hex and Myths, respectively, I reviewed for Discorder magazine, the September issue, which is on newsstands right now for you to pick up for free. Or you can follow them on Twitter, Discorder Mag, or go online to check those out for those full album reviews. And of course, those links will be posted on my blog, What Pink Sounds Like. Thanks for listening to today's show. As always, again, check out the website, whatpinksoundslike.com, for more information about today's show, including my interview with Low Spin, which will be posted there later tonight. And, you know, you can read about my rants and mind-blowing opinions about life in general. So, guys, stay tuned to CITR. Have a great day. Students, good luck with the first day of school. I'll see you next week. I'll leave you with the Argentinian band Las Kellys.
In arrears,